Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
As adults, we all face different problems in our lives where you go, all right, I haven't had much experience with this.
Mm-hmm.
Where's a real adult to help me?
Mum, help, yeah. Please.
Maybe it's you call a family member, yeah. A sibling, a friend. You call someone you work with and you go, look, tax returns. How do you do this?
My car's making a weird noise for the last 2 days. What's happened?
And in most areas of our lives, we think we're adults, right?
Yeah.
And then there's these one things that makes you feel like your shoelaces are untied, you're wearing like a stripy t-shirt and you look like Dora the Explorer and you go, I'm just a kid. I'm just a little boy.
Feels very targeted. Yeah.
What am I doing here? I've got no idea. I've realized that I've got a new challenge that I'm about to encounter. It's not really a challenge. It's just something I haven't had to do before.
Okay.
And I only realized the reason when you pointed it out the other day about why I've never had to do this, because what I'm about to have to do for the first time in my adult life is sell a car.
Ah.
And I've never had to sell a car before because I'm buying another car, like an old 2008 car that's a bit bigger.
Your car's perfectly fine, Tim.
It is. And this is the issue. It's actually in great shape, Jess, my current car.
Why have you never had to sell a car before?
Most of the time, in brackets, all of the time, they've just died.
Yep.
And I've gone, well, that's the end of that chapter.
I was in your car, the last car, the Ford station wagon.
Yeah.
When it blew up.
I parked it in a car park and the engine just went poof, never started again. Never ever started again. And it stayed in that car park for like 6 months until someone was like, you need to move this car, mate.
Until our boss said, move this car.
Someone said. And so, and then that was very easy. I called the wreckers and I was like, hey, I've got a Falcon station wagon that won't start. I need a truck to come and get it. Can I get any money for scrap metal? And they were like, oh, this is like one of the most popular. This is a taxi car from the 2000s.
Yeah.
So we'll just won't charge you to pick it up. So that's my experience selling a car.
How does one even go about selling a car?
All I know is that it's probably going to be easy to do it on carsales.com.au.
Also, I've never had to sell a car before.
So this is the thing. I'm looking at you. We're like two little toddlers walking around going, how do you do this?
I wrote my first car off. Yes. Don't want to talk about it.
So, so I've got it. Like, I've been looking into what I should do.
Yep.
Because, again, the car, unfortunately, is in really good nick. So it's...
Can't you just give it to your dad and be like, sell this for me and give me the money?
No, because this is the point. This is the principle. I need to do this. And these are the moments in life where you go, no, I need to figure out how
I'd
to do this.
I'd be calling my dad so fast.
You're 33.
His number is on speed dial. I would have already called him by now while we're having this conversation.
No.
He would be chiming in.
I've called him for general advice, but I'm not fobbing it off to him to be like, this is your problem.
I didn't even get my own car serviced. My dad still does all my car servicing. I know the bloke's name's Theo. I don't know his number.
Shall we even say how fuel gets into your car, Jessica? You have nothing to do with your car.
I drive it.
Yeah, fair enough. Into the back of other people by the sounds of it. So I am going to learn. I know that I've got to clean it.
Yeah.
I know that I've got to get it serviced. And I know, get this, you've got to get a roadworthy. It only lasts for like 30 days. It costs like $400. So if no one buys it, like, you've got to just keep doing it.
Oh, my God.
Doing it. So
I did not know that.
If anyone wants a Toyota Hilux 2009,
about 290,000 Ks
in a pretty good nick, it does need a service. I'll get on that. But, yeah, hit.
This isn't carsales.com.au.
No, just... it's KROQ 955 with a hint of car sales. So, but I am going to do this myself, and I'll keep you abreast.
Okay. You are going to end up with three cars at your house because I don't see this happening very long.
Yeah, but Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
This is Tim and Jess. You are about to enter the KROQ courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Recess adjourned in the courtroom of Tim and Jess. Two arguments come head to head. We get someone else to decide. The first person to call through, they're the judge. They decide what the final ruling is. It becomes law across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine. I'm standing on a side of the fence that I'm not happy that I'm there,
look,
but I'm doing it.
Representing the defendant.
The young and handsome Bowden, who helps out here at the radio station. He's been helping out because Chris is sick at the moment.
Yep.
Helps out with our show, the Brekkie show. He's a young gun, but he's crazy. But I'm happy to stand on his side because we don't want him to go unrepresented in the courtroom of Tim and Jess.
He came to us with a bold claim today. He thought it was weird. People were staring at him because he walked in barefoot into a cafe the other day.
He gave us a ranking of places that he thought it was okay.
So wild.
And the way, the confidence with this young man speaks, 23 years old, you know, the world's ahead of him. His whole life's there.
The best year of his life hasn't even happened yet.
And he goes, you know what? Shopping centres, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. You know what? Petrol stations.
Totally fine.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine. Cafes, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
We did discuss how close this cafe was to the beach and to the ocean or to sand. It was within a kilometre.
I feel like that does give it a bit more like leniency. I still don't think it's okay. Mm. But it doesn't matter what my opinion is, Tim, or yours, or Bowden's, because the only opinion that matters is that of our judge, who today is Sian from Clifton Springs.
Good afternoon, Your Honour.
How you going?
Good, Sian.
Oh, Your Honour, so formal. Now, Sian, Clifton Springs, obviously very close to the ocean, to the water, to the beach. There's lots of great cafes and establishments across Clifton Springs and Drysdale.
Yes, there is.
Is this something, have you ever considered going into a cafe barefoot?
Have done so on more than one occasion.
Oh!
However, it depends on the location. If you're at the beach and it's a cafe down by the beach within a couple of hundred metres, it's expected.
Oh!
I mean, if you've got a pair of, if you've got a pair of pluggers, chuck them on, you know, a little bit of
out
decorum,
of respect,
but otherwise, right? But otherwise, They're expecting no less, I reckon.
Sian, so
but
you're
if you're
saying,
going into town, son.
Yeah. If you're on Paco, when there's a lot of great cafes along Packington Street in Geelong West, you don't think it's okay?
Yes. No, that's highbrow stuff. That's pluggers or sandals, man.
It's highbrow stuff. Pluggers or sandals, please.
Okay. So, Sian, as much as, see, this is the thing, you're out there living the same life as young Bowden, but you're here to put him in his place at the same time.
If you saw Bowden walking into the cafe, you're sitting there having a nice, you know, mug of cappuccino, and Bowden walks past with his dogs out for the boys, Sian, what would you say? Would you say something to him?
Well, if I was down at the beach, not a thought. If I was in town, I'd suggest he nick into Kmart and get himself some pluggers.
Sian, we haven't had a judge this
defiant
in a long time. We absolutely love it. There you go. The gavel's down. It is conditional, but I feel like it is handy to be conditional. So Your Honour, Sian from Clifton Springs, if we see you in town, obviously in a cafe in Clifton Springs, we'll see those toes, but in town, of course not. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No worries.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Jess, yesterday something happened just here in the studio in between the songs, and I was very against it. And it seems that it's what you've put up on our social media has not only come back to hurt me even more than what I already said.
I didn't mean it to hurt you. I was trying to build you up, you know.
Right.
Be your best friend. You told me off the air yesterday that your wife said that
there's this show we've been watching on Netflix called The Gentleman.
Yes.
And the main character is played by Theo James. Now, Theo
Very
James,
hot.
He's in the Divergent movies. Mm-hmm. He's in season 2 of White Lotus.
Yep.
He is a very attractive man. A very muscular, English, attractive, classically handsome man.
When you said his name, though, I was like, I don't know who Theo James is. And then I Googled him, immediately knew exactly who he was. And when I Googled him, for a brief second, I was like, is that Tim? It was brief. It was very brief. But I put it to our socials at K-Rock Geelong and at the Tim and Jess Show. And I said, hey, guys, am I going crazy here? Or does Tim kind of look like Theo James?
Can I just say, firstly, thank you. But secondly, there's no way. Don't get me wrong. We all have to, like, get around the way we look and accept our appearance and all that kind of things. There's just no, there's no heck in a who, Jess, that that, that, but that like, him and I look the
if
same.
If you put two pictures of you guys together and you like you move your head real fast, just like could be the same person.
You could do that with me and an ostrich. And I think I'm closer to the ostrich than the actor Theo James.
We did get a few less than favourable comments. Yeah.
Well, can I just tell? So I said I was so excited to go home to my wife and be like, I cannot wait to see how she reacts because she finds him very attractive.
What did she say?
I was like, so Jess from work said that I look like Theo James. And she turned. She was on FaceTime with her sister and she went, so not even she's buying it.
Okay.
But apparently the hate has continued, not just in my home, but online as well.
64% of people said that I was crazy.
Oh, you did a poll. Great. I didn't know there was a poll.
36% of people agreed. Just, yeah, oh my God. Yeah, he does look
actually,
like that.
Actually, no, I think I voted no. So there was a poll. Yeah, I remember that. I think I voted that I don't think I look like him.
Got a message from Allison. You'd have to look real fast. We got a message from Rebecca. She said, no, maybe someone needs to check Jess's eyes. A lot of them was honestly more insulting to me, like talking about how blind I must be if I think that you guys look the same.
But also, if that the flow-on effect of that still comes back to me. So I begged, I said, please don't stop, and now we're...
I stand by it.
Now
I
we're in the comments section roasting me.
If he, when he doesn't have a beard, less so, because he's got quite a strong jaw.
Yeah.
But like when he's got a beard... Same. Same person. Right there. Like two pieces of white bread.
White is the key ingredient there. I mean, if we can get him on the show, I'm sure he'd be so offended. Because while we're chatting to him, we can send a photo of me to him. And, he'll go, "Goo," as well as
my
wife.
I will reach out to his management team, see if I can make this happen.
People that hot don't come on radio shows like ours, Jess. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Yesterday on the show, briefly, we discussed about a guy in Newcastle in New South Wales who fell asleep at the barber.
Yeah.
He not just like for a little time, because don't get me wrong, when I've been at the barber, I've dozed off for like, you know, those micro things where you kind of wake up and you go, oh, I was about to be.
It can be very relaxing.
It is. Like, especially like now some of the fancy barbers, they like put a hot towel on your face.
Yeah.
Like your husband and I go to the same barber.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Ben. He touches me like no one else. It's so
the
hard.
The amount he charges, so
no,
he should.
No. And it's one of those things where it's very relaxing and you're sitting in the same spot and whether they're cutting your hair, they might be washing it or whatever. You fall asleep. This bloke fell asleep for 3 hours.
Amazing. He must have really needed
it. He must have been pooped. It looks like he was a tradie from the photos that I've seen in the videos. And yeah, woke up, 38 missed calls. His parking had expired, so he was in big trouble as well with a parking fine. There's a story out of Melbourne in the last 48 hours. I don't know if you've heard about this. Police are looking for a bloke who was found napping in his car at the set of traffic lights. He was asleep for 20 minutes.
How? Like with his foot on the brake?
Maybe he put it in park? I don't know. It's so bizarre.
That is so dangerous.
So, and that's why the police are looking for him.
Oh, my God.
But this bloke fell asleep at the traffic lights, which is just... Imagine if it was just that weight on the brake.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Oh, God.
Imagine the panic when you wake up from that.
Yep. Yeah.
That is terrifying. Now, you are a sleeping superstar.
I
so
am.
I always like to hold back when we talk about sleep. Because what I want to ask on 52232955 is where have you fallen asleep?
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're a sleepy boy or a sleepy girl or a sleepy person, you can fall asleep in the best of places.
I'm laughing because yesterday you were shocked when I told you I wake up at like 8:30 most days.
I know. If you're listening, you're right. Get this? Like, I've already had a whole cycle of
I don't even set an alarm.
Good for you. No, I honestly enjoy it while you can.
You sound so sincere.
At 8:30, 9 o'clock, I'm winding my son down for his first nap of the day because he's already been awake so
I'm
long.
Also winding down from my first nap of the day.
We would love for you to get in touch with the show and give us a call now. Before we hit the phones, Jess, as we always say, this is your superpower. give us some of your stats of strange places you fall asleep, because when you're sleepy you go out like a light.
I do airports pretty well, like just
airports
on the ground at the airport. Most recently in Japan, I did it on the ground at the airport. I was exhausted. Planes always easy one for me.
Ground hits different. As now,
ground does hit different.
Now I've fallen asleep more on the ground since my son's been born than ever before. Like someone, like my, like he'll be hanging out with his grandparents or whatever, and I'll just be having a bit of a me moment. And it's honestly, a hardwood timber floor might not seem comfortable, but it just does. So, and that's why we're asking about the strangest places that you've fallen asleep. Again, give us a call, 522-322-955. Like Steve from Lara has. Steve, where's the strangest place you've fallen asleep?
Well, I had an ex-girlfriend once, and I went to yoga. We had a big yoga, and apparently this is a position you're not allowed to fall asleep in. And you know, I started snoring, and I felt like a hand, and she's like, I thought she was being like romantic. It was like yoga, you know. But nah, she was whacking me to say, hey, wake up.
Steve, this is the third time I've heard something like this happening in the last 12 months to people. I've heard that it happened at Upstate a couple of months ago with someone that used to work at the radio station.
I've done it. I've done it in the past.
You fall asleep at a yoga.
The Savasana is like the best part of yoga. When you're everyone lying down.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, the meditation part. Yes. You do the class so that you can get to the meditation.
You're not meant to fall asleep, though.
No.
You're not meant to fall asleep.
You're meant to like be one with your body. You lay down in the most comfortable position.
How do you lay down?
You lay down on your back. Sometimes you put your knees in the air. Some people lay like out flat. They sometimes hand out blankets and pillows. You're still not allowed to sleep. But then you get real comfy.
Maybe I need to get me some Savasana. Yeah. This sounds fantastic, Steve. Maybe, Steve, I'll head up to Lara and we can have a bit of a Savasana, you and I won't smack you when you fall asleep. Okay, love it.
No, definitely, mate, yeah.
I don't know why I'm scared now, actually. Steve seems like he's going to trick me when I fall asleep. This is
Tim and Jess. Tim, this is a conversation you and I have often, off the air. You've got me thinking that maybe I should be more concerned.
I don't think you should be concerned. I think you're... If I think what you're talking about it is, I think your husband's delirious. I think he is living in a fantasy land. I think he thinks he's in a movie. He watches too many action flicks.
I'm starting to wonder whether my husband, Akshay, is a spy.
And the worst thing is, I'm not allowed to say one of the main reasons why I think he's ridiculous.
What do you mean?
I'm not allowed to say what I was... Like, the thing about the overseas thing.
Sure.
I'm not allowed to talk about that because he'll get angry. Or am I allowed to talk about it?
My husband will often talk to people and people ask him lots of questions about like having a go bag.
Yes.
Being ready to go, drop everything and leave at a moment's notice.
Someone invades Australia.
Yep.
You need to, he's got a bag hidden at the, I don't know, the Cario Red Rooster.
Yep.
Underneath the drive-through lid there. And
I don't know where his go bag is. He won't tell me.
See, I reckon he's all talk. I don't think he has a go bag.
Does he have a go bag? Or is he making all this stuff up? Because he told me, it all started because before our wedding, he asked me whether I should get a, whether I can get a European passport.
Well, your family's Macedonian. Your parents both born in Macedonia.
Yeah, yeah. So... They were both born over there, which means I'm eligible. I would have to go through the embassy and
all
that. It's
just riff-raff.
It's a lot of work. Ugh. And I went, what do I need an extra passport for? And he said to me these words, it's always handy to have another passport.
But what?
What do you mean?
What light? Because he's told me about these other passports that he may or may not have.
He definitely does. I've seen them.
But why does he... Like, he's an energy trader that works in the city. He's not.
Or is he?
He's not James Bond.
He's got one of those jobs. This is what's got me thinking. Because he's got one of those jobs that he tells me he's an energy trader. What is that?
No offense.
It's like purposely vague.
We know what an energy trader is. It's like a financial trader or like a stock trader.
Yeah, but have you ever asked him questions? Like,
yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know how to describe your husband's job better than you do.
What does he do?
The thing is, so he...
All I'm saying is it's the perfect cover job.
No, it is.
For if he's doing, you know, he's actually a spy.
Do you know what the plot hole is, though?
What's the plot hole?
You're the plot hole.
Why?
If he was really a spy, and 5 years ago when you started seeing each other, he would have been like, I can't see this girl because she's a blabbermouth. She works on the radio. Why, as a spy, is it smart for me to be someone in the public eye?
Is it the perfect cover? Because who would suspect him? His wife is a big mouth.
You suspect him. I just don't. I think he's in a fantasy land. He talks about all these things where he's going to need to go in an instant.
I asked him last night. I was like, have you genuinely got a bag? Like, have you got a bag ready to go somewhere hidden around Geelong and the Surf Coast? And he said, that's none of your business.
So the marriage has started off well.
What does that mean?
Often you hear that in a marriage and you go, oh, this is love. This is what they, it's what everyone who's married always tells you about.
I said to him, I'm gonna hide a bag too then. If we're hiding bags.
Your Hello Kitten bag.
Hello Kitten.
A little bit easier to find. Hello Kitty, whatever, you know what I mean. I just think, I know the type of TV shows you watch. A lot of Bodyguard. Mm-hmm.
He often says to me, like, we watched what's that one Greenland that was out a couple years ago?
Gerard Butler, yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, see, with my passports, I'd find somewhere to go.
Yeah, but
You're stuck here.
But
what does that mean?
Your husband isn't Gerard Butler. And Gerard Butler isn't even Gerard Butler because he's an actor.
Yeah.
Again. I think people might have partners. If you're listening, your partner might be in Fantasyland where they think they are James Bond, ready to have to go and save the world or get ready to apocalypse, get out of there quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
So anyway, I've looked into the application for my EU passport.
All right. Well, honestly, you know what, Jess? If that's how you're going to look at it, there's an emergency. You both have to leave now.
Okay,
I'm sick of it.
You can laugh at me, Tim, but you won't be laughing when I've got my two passports and you're stuck here.
Yeah, it's all right. You lost your last one. I'm sure you'll lose this one too.
Come on. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.